If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
One of the main issues of the Nick Sorensen experiment was just horrible tackling. And, you know, he went through his philosophy a couple times and walked through it, and just probably one of the worst philosophical ideas on tackling that I've ever heard in my coaching, playing, covering the state, whatever you want to call it. Just awful. Well, at number 22... you have the remedy to the situation, and that's Nick Martin, rookie linebacker. Just tackle, baby. Like, one of the best tacklers from the linebacker position to come out of the draft in several years. Now, don't get me wrong. There are question marks to his games with the injury, with lack of experience, all those things. But there's one thing that is non-questionable whenever you watch his tape. Absolute beast tackler. And I know a lot of people want to say, oh, well, he's the Dre Greenlaw replacement. He might play the same position as Dre Greenlaw. He might eventually be the long-term answer to the number two linebacker next to Fred Warner, like Dre Greenlaw was. They are not the same player. Doesn't mean he doesn't hit hard, but that is, he's not that enforcer, killer, whatever. He is a wrap-up tackling machine that gets the job done. And like, don't be surprised when Nick Martin leads this team in tackles for an entire year, similar to Dre Greenlaw, just with a different facet. Nick Martin, rookie, going to be wearing jersey number 45, comes in at number 22 on our roster countdown this year. And he's small, he is fast, he tackles. How small is he? Almost too small. 5'11", 221. His height is 6% of NFL linebackers. His weight is 2%. But it comes with a caveat as well. Robert Saleh. He is a small linebacker fiend. Dre Greenlaw was small. Jamien Sherwood was small. Aziz Alshire was small. Like, these are the types of guys that he wants in his system that can fly around speed, 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 all gas, no brakes, whatever cliche you want to put out there. Violence, violence, violence. Nick Martin brings that. 31-inch arms is very small. 22 years old. 4.53 40-yard dash. That's elite. 90th percentile of NFL linebackers speed. 1.54 10-yard split, elite for linebackers. 7.23 cone, 38-inch vertical, elite. Broad jump, 10.3, elite. Bench press, 26, elite. So he's small, he doesn't have height, doesn't have weight, doesn't have length, but that doesn't come across on tape. The athleticism, explosiveness is there. Athletic comp is Owen Popoe, and playstyle comp's Matt Milano. I just saw it a lot. Now, if you missed it right after the draft, we had the opportunity to have Nick Martin on 49ers Rush. You can just go type in Nick Martin interview. It will pull up, man. We had him on for about 25 minutes. It was an absolute blast. And, you know, I had one of the privilege to ask him a handful of questions. We're going to play three clips from that interview during today's spotlight. I asked him, what is your linebacker mindset, and what was it like talking with Robert Saleh, and what is he preaching to you?
So my mindset is staying alive and tackle the guy with the ball, you know, not burying yourself. And when you're going against old linemen, staying alive and keeping that distance and making them play in space, because that's where us linebackers thrive. So obviously, and going for the ball, you know, looking for those opportunities to get those punches or those strip attempts out. And yeah, my mindset is really just kill the guy with the ball, you know, take his head off, you know, get one of those highlight plays, controlled aggression, you know what I mean? And yeah, man, and just setting the tone for the whole defense, you know, so.
I am curious, in your talks with Robert Saleh, how many times has that guy said violence? Already, like, I feel like every other word out of his mouth is just violent, 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 violent. Is that already kind of being echoed from the coaches to you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, they like playing fast, and all gas, no brakes, you know, that type of mentality. And that's what I love, you know, not being timid, not worried about mistakes, but playing fast and trusting the guy next to you and playing in the way that the game is supposed to be played. And I feel like that's the 49ers mentality, and that's my mentality. So it's a great fit.
Got to really respect just the overlapping mentality and just, you know, speed, play style, all those things. Absolutely love it. Now, Nick Martin is from Texas. Man, there's a lot of Texas players on here. Texarkana, Texas, went to Pleasant Grove High School, then committed to Oklahoma State and played there. Youngest of four brothers, and he talked about, you know, being the youngest and just fighting for everything with four older brothers and kind of that competitive lifestyle nature growing up and just always competing. That is huge. He played running back and linebacker in high school, also track and field. He's got the speed, was a three-star recruit, chose Oklahoma State over Kansas State and Texas Tech, and wasn't a starter there until 2023. This is one of the kind of knocks on his place that, like, we do a 49ers fit scale for every player. I had a 9 out of 10 on Nick Martin, and the only reason why he wasn't a 10, because he's the ideal build, everything, but just lack of experience. Usually Robert Saleh goes after these guys that have played a lot. Nick Martin has not. He had to wait until 2023 to become the guy, the all-purpose starter. Unbelievable year. But then he got hurt in 2024 with an MCL. So he has one full year and about 5 games of experience. Not a lot, but first team all Big 12 in his only year starting just went freaking bananas. We'll talk more about his stats and all those things there. Met with the 49ers at the combine and, you know, just has something to offer. And that is just tackling and speed. That is everything. Fred Warner said, you know, during OTAs that Martin has been asking all the right questions, following him around, truly trying to learn during OTAs and minicamp. And, you know, coming off an injury, you were a little concerned, but after his combine performance and all those things, the 49ers go and get him. And, you know, John Lynch said, you know, if we could have scripted day one, you know, our first 3 picks, it would have been Mikael Williams, Alfred Collins, Nick Martin. You want to put that at its face value? I don't know if you trust them, like those really were their 3 guys. But when they saw that Nick Martin pick and you saw Robert Saleh just going bananas in the draft room, like this was somebody that they were super excited about and thought would have been a second rounder if it wasn't for the injury. So we'll have to see what that looks like. He gets drafted the 3rd round, pick 75, and probably one of the coolest things, you know, just talking to him, I was able to ask him, man, walk us through what that draft process was like and getting selected by the 49ers.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. So I was sitting there with my family, everybody kind of doing their own thing, and me and my girl was sitting, like, in the corner just talking. And then I seen a California number call me, and I automatically knew who it was because – I haven't talked to them a lot during the whole process. And it's actually a dream come true because that's my favorite team, and that's the team I wanted to go to and play for, and the organization I want to be a part of. So, I mean, it's a blessing. I'm just excited to get ready to work, and I'm hungry, man. So
I love. Now, were you kind of surprised, like, when the call came? Day 2 was, I know it goes so fast, but, like, were there other teams, and did they talk to you about, like, the range they were trying to target you and, like, where your agent was saying, look, we think we're going to go around this round to this round?
Yeah, so when I was talking to my agents, they told me that it's going to be day 2, that it's a high percentage chance that I'll go day 2. Even though all the mock drafts was saying otherwise, I wasn't really paying attention to that. It was kind of funny. But so my agents, they told me that I was going to go day 2. And so I was waiting patiently for that call. Day 1, I just sat there and watched my guys go. And I was excited for them, super happy for all them guys because I trained with them and got to know them dudes. And then day 2 was the days, and it happened. And it ended up getting on the call that I wanted it to. So That was a blessing. Super excited.
How cool is that? Going to the team that he wanted to go to. I mean, if you're a linebacker, of course you want to play next to Fred Warner, the best in the NFL, one of the best coverage linebackers of all time, but also Robert Saleh. Look how much money he has made so many different players that he has drafted. So to be the next coined linebacker from the great Robert Saleh, that means a lot. Now, our film write-up, not mine. We have a whole team here. Sorry, not trying to be selfish there. Before he was drafted, right? Speed, pass rush upside, heat-seeking missile. Crazy fun tape. Only 1 year of production, missed most of 2024 with the torn meniscus, which happened in October. famously ran down Xavier Worthy in the open field, the fastest player in the NFL. Great blitzer, spy with 6 sacks and limited reps. Just a highlight reel tackler that arrives with bad intentions. Wish he was bigger with more experience. Experience, I gave him a 3, versatility a 6, speed 8, acceleration 9. We had a 4th-round grade on him. He went in the 3rd round, and he got us a little bit with mock drafts, had us going later. But it was a bad linebacker class overall, and so that's going to push elite traits up, that acceleration, tackling ability, all those things. I mean, that is just – that's what makes things so special about him. Now, his college career, 203 tackles, 24 tackle for loss, 7 sacks. 2 interceptions, 2 pass breakups, 2 fumble recovers, 2 forced fumbles. And, man, he signed a 4-year, $6.5 million deal, $1.4 million signing bonus. Only 19 games started. That is not a lot. Only 25 games played. That is not a lot. Last year, before the injury, only played 387 snaps. Not a lot. Now, in those snaps, he had 38 tackles. That's 1 tackle every 10 snaps. 8 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble. You look at his PFF scores, not as high as his 2023 tape. Overall grade, 66.5. Run grade, 63. Tackling grade, 62. QBR allowed, 79. Coverage grade, 59. You are drafting somebody with an elite skill set. Somebody that can tackle, tackle, tackle. You ain't got to worry about coverage with Nick Barton. Yeah, he's going to be covering out there. But you got Fred Warner. You just want somebody that can run, hunt, tackle running backs and just be the for sure tackle. He does that in spades. And I'm super excited about that. Now, this will be the last clip we play. I asked him, what's your goal heading into training camp in week 1? What is it you are trying to accomplish? Dude, are you planning to jump in? You want to start week 1? Like, what is your goal, your mindset taking into this roster?
Yeah, my goal is to come in and start week 1. You know, come in and earn that spot and be that guy that they trust, you know, and play alongside Fred and those guys and everybody in the back end and the guys in front of me as well that got drafted and the guys that's already there, like Nick Bosa. You know, I'm just excited to play with those guys and improve to them and earn the best respect, you know, and show the coaches that they made the perfect decision with picking me. And showing that they believe in the right guy.
Show the coaches they made the perfect decision. Now he's gonna have to earn his stripes. And you know, we're in training camp now. He is not getting 1 reps. D Winners, Luke Gifford are getting snaps ahead of him. I love that. I want him to have to earn it to the point where it's like, look, you have to put me on that field. And it's gonna take some time, but through training camp and preseason, he's going to get those chances. And with an inexperienced linebacker, week 1, you're playing against, you know, come on now. It's a division opponent at Seattle. That game's going to matter. I think it's going to slowly bring him into the fold. Now, we did that clip before the schedule was even released, but he will be started at some point in the season. Will he start at linebacker 3, then earn linebacker 2? That's what you're hoping with Nick Martin. But, you know, him and D Winners, however that shakes out, I don't really care. As long as those 3 guys are out there, D Winners has been in the system for several years now. I think he has the experience, but eventually it's going to be Nick Martin. Remember, D Winners was not a Robert Saleh pick. They coined Nick Martin to come in and be that guy. Drafted him in the 3rd round. Guess where the linebacker Fred Warner was drafted by Robert Saleh? 3rd round. They expect a lot. Now, this team is a little bit different than that 2018 49ers, but Nick Martin will be a guy whenever it is all said and done. Thank you, Josh, to helping write this episode. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over 3 seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy, and Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week 1 things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Sometimes you can't just do enough for you. You have to go above and beyond and give no opening whatsoever for somebody to come take your job. And, you know, here we are at number 21 on this roster countdown. We have D Winners, who last year, the 49ers were ready to hand over the keys to the kingdom and just couldn't stay healthy. Had an ankle issue in training camp, kind of lost the spot to Devondre Campbell, of all people. Had another ankle issue later, had a concussion later. Had ankle issues later, had shoulder, I mean, just like, good Lord. And D Winters isn't a player that's been injured for the majority of his career, but it was just always something that kept him out, even whenever you had somebody like Devondre Campbell who quit on the damn team. It was just so frustrating because everybody was just clamoring, let us see number 53 D Winters out there. Just couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, yeah, Devondre Campbell starting games when the 49ers were 6-7. And then he quit on the team and then they, you know, whatever, got rid of him. But, like, what a wasted defensive year. And it's some of it is D Winter's fault. Some of it's not. The 49ers just, man, they did not do very well with the talent they had last year on defense. It wasn't a great defensive unit, but when D Winters was healthy, he wasn't out there either. And so that was just so problematic to see. DFF got snaps over him. What the hell is wrong with that? Like, just such a waste, even whenever D Winters was healthy. Now, sixth-round pick going into his third season. In 2023, his rookie year, he was number 48 on the countdown. Last year was number 38. Jumped 17 spots up to his highest by a lot, the number 21 this year. Give them no chance to remove you. And this year he's got obstacles, right? You go, the 49ers bring in a new defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, which is great news. D Winters finally is going to get quality coaching there. Johnny Holland's amazing. I'm not trying to throw shade there, but the play caller matters. And for the first time in his career, he's going to have a linebacker DC. You remember he went through Steve Wilkes, then he went through Nick Sorensen, the worst ever. Now he's got Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh brought in his own guys, Chaz Surratt, right? Luke Gifford. Drafts the third-round pick, Nick Martin. Undrafted free agent they pay some money for, Stone Blanton. D Winters is not a Robert Saleh guy, but you cannot allow an inch of letting somebody come in and take your job. Now, so far through training camp, D Winters has done his job, and he's stayed up there with the first group as that number two, number three linebacker. You can't let him, don't give him an inch. You got to force them to keep Nick Martin, the guy they're so excited about, and we had Nick Martin the spot before at 22 on this countdown. I do think D Winters is going to win this job. Can he keep it? Can he stay healthy? Don't let the rookie have any chance. That should be the goal. Now, jersey number 53 for D Winters, 5'11", 230. He's gained 8 pounds since he is drafted, 31 5-inch arms, short arms, 24 years old. He's young. He is young going into his third season. 4.49 40-yard dash. That's top 94 percentile of speed for D winners. I mean, this dude can fly. 1.56 10-yard burst. That's great. 30.5-inch vertical. Good. 9.9 broad. Okay. 20 bench press. Okay. You enter in his measurables. Listen to these three names. Deion Jones, Nakobe Dean, Ventrell Miller. Athlete, undersized. That's just what he is going into his third season. Another Texas boy. I feel like we've had like four Texas players in a row. Went to Burton High School. Burton, Texas, just outside of Houston. Small town. They had one gas station. And, you know, that's one of the things that D. Winters has in common with Johnny Holland. You know, they're both small town Texas kids, about 20 miles apart from each other. You know, Winters went to Burton. Their population's 283. Holland's hometown of Hempstead, just over 6,000 people. And so you have kind of this commonality, this small town Texas feel, which I'm telling you, it does matter for those of us that were, my town wasn't too small, but like it matters. It really, really does. Now, Winters was a two-way player, primarily used as a wide receiver. To think about the speed in high school, recruited to TCU as a safety, then transitions to a linebacker. Huge basketball, baseball, track and field guy. If you small town, you play everything. And he was that. Four-year varsity letterman, a district MVP, co-district MVP in back-to-back years. Chose TCU over Arkansas, Tech, Northwestern, Arizona State. The fact that he got offered to go to Northwestern should tell you something. Kid's got some intellect. Goes to TCU, and again, as a safety, transitioned to linebacker his freshman year, had to put on weight, but started playing relatively early, actually won Athlon Sports Defensive Freshman of the Week versus Purdue in 2019. He started playing. First team All Big 12 2022. It took him a while to explode on the scene because his body had to get to the point where it was ready. He was way too undersized. And I would argue, even in the NFL, that still is kind of the case. But Robert Saleh loves these undersized linebackers, high speed, and D Winters. He's the fastest linebacker by a mile in that 49ers room. Now, first team All Big 12 2022. And then you go into the college football playoffs. You know, TCU eventually got stomped by Georgia. I was actually at that game. But before that, I was with Wayne in Vegas. We were hosting an event. That was a fun game. That was the one that went to overtime. You remember one of Brock Purdy's early games against Jared Stidham, of all people. But TCU just boat raced Michigan. And if you go back to that game, it was the D. Winters game. He was the MVP. He had 7 tackles, 3 tackle for loss, 1 pass defense, 1 interception that he took to the house. It just blew Michigan out of the water. And John Lynch was at that game. His daughter went to TCU. Then they got to spend more time with him at the Senior Bowl. That's always a big deal for the 49ers whenever they make it to that Senior Bowl. And so they got to know him even more so during that time. 49ers draft him at the end of the 6th round in the 2023 draft. Man, it's crazy that was 3 seasons ago. He went overall pick 216, very end, one of those comp picks towards the end of the draft. Now, what happened was, once he gets drafted, doesn't really get the play time that I thought he was going to get. Eventually, I thought he'd be phased in. But, man, DFF, they just kept giving that guy snaps no matter how bad he was. Bringing in outs, they tried to bring in Eric Kendricks. He didn't stick. Then they did bring in Devondre Campbell, and they just kept staying with him no matter how bad he was. Listen to my pre-draft write-up, our pre-draft write-up of D. Winters before he ever played one snap. 4-3 will or nickel linebacker, explosive mover, good range as a second level defender, short area quickness, grab and drag tackler, leadership qualities, high character guy. Passing down linebacker only at the moment. He's got to work on that. I think that he has to get better at block shedding. And so you have these two linebackers where you have D. Winters that's more of a coverage high-end speed guy, struggles versus the run. And now you have Nick Martin that is an elite run defender, struggles versus the pass. Wish you could kind of combine them, but you've got a 3rd and 6th round pick. They're going to have deficiencies. Back to D. Winters' write-up. Best games were later in the year. Something clicked in 2022. Wish he was taller or longer. Always around the ball and is capable of taking a drive over. Plays with great burst. Then he gets drafted. comes to the 49ers. It just, man, only really played on special teams. He had 224 snaps his rookie season. But again, most of that was on special teams. Last year, you wanted him to take a step up. Never really happened. Couldn't get out of his own way. Fred Warner talked about how he was the most improved player at OTAs and all that kind of stuff, and it was great. But then ankle injury. Kicked him out of the rotation. He never got his job back. That was kind of the issue. And so in the end, you know, he missed the first two games with an ankle injury. Then he didn't get really starter-level snaps until the last three games of the season after you kicked Devondre Campbell off the damn team. Ended up playing 398 snaps on defense, which isn't bad. Overall PFF grade, 66.4 for D-winners. All right, slightly above average, not great. But you were playing behind the worst defensive tackle group in the NFL last year. I do believe that. But again, what does D-winners do better than, you know, most? Coverage. He had an 80 coverage grade those last three games where he started and played every snap. That was huge. 161 special team snaps last year, so for a 66 grade, decent. Not bad. He's going to be involved. Worst case, he's a linebacker three. If Nick Martin does pass him or Luke Gifford or, you know, whomever, probably going to stay that linebacker two until Nick Martin takes that job. So can he stay healthy? That's going to be huge. Career earnings so far, he's going into his third year. 49ers have him for 2025 and 2026 season on the rookie deal. Career earnings, $1.8 million. He's got 10 starts so far, 30 games played. Can he just keep everybody out of his way? This 49ers defense has a lot of youth. And D-Winters is only, you know, a third-year vet. But I would prefer to have him out there week one against Seattle than Nick Martin. If Nick Martin wins it, great. But D-Winters, stay healthy. Keep your damn job. And make that rookie push you into where they cannot take you out of this lineup. That is the best thing for the 49ers defense this year. And that's why we have D-Winters one spot ahead of Nick Martin. I know a lot of people probably disagree with that. But Ben, thank you for being the writer of today's episode. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, keep counting them down, baby. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. This one's hard. Coming in 20 on our roster countdown is safety Jair Brown, heading into his third season, and you could not have a bigger drop-off. The spots, he dropped six spots from last year. He was 14 in 2024. He was 35 his rookie year. Now he's 20. He dropped six spots. Like, the 49ers are giving this guy another chance. He's taking first-team reps right now next to Jason Pinnock in training camp. But if you look at Jair Brown's rookie year, which could not have been more promising, freaking awesome, and just steady trajectory up. It had some rookie moments, gave up huge touchdown in the NFC Championship game against, you know, Jameson Williams, just literally whiffed for a huge touchdown, whatever else. But, like, gets an interception in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. Like, good Lord, as a rookie. And then you switch from Steve Wilks to Nick Sorensen, and a lot of the responsibility or reasoning for the horrible 2024. I would argue Jair Brown was the worst starter on the entire 49ers offense, defense, whomever. Maybe you want to put, well, I don't want to, he's no longer on this team. I won't talk about him. But Jair Brown was as bad as he could get. Now, you look at the analytics, and it's like, it's not awful. You know, the PFF grades, they're not good, but it's like he had a 64 grade, 55 run defense, 48 tackling, 69 coverage. Coverage was relatively decent. Not a lot of huge errors. Dude just couldn't tackle. And he only had 12 missed tackles registered on 2024 season, but I would argue 10, maybe more, couldn't be counted as a tackle because he wasn't even close enough to touch guys. Coming down from that free safety position, which he played predominantly, He just whiffed. Not even whiffed. Like, you go to the Green Bay game, he literally ducks his head, pulls his arms in, and dives so far out of the way that he doesn't even make contact with the ball carrier and gives up touchdown, a huge touchdown play. Couldn't even make contact. He had a free shot. It happened multiple times. Like, Jair Brown was god-awful. Was that his fault? Was that Nick Sorensen's fault? Was it both? Usually it's both and, not either or. But the 49ers are giving him another shot. He's on a rookie deal, so you're not going to cut him. And I would argue if Malik Mustafa was healthy, Jair Brown wouldn't even be anywhere close to this number 20 number, but probably going to be starting week one for the 49ers. If you can get rookie Jair Brown, that's badass. If you're getting 2024 Jair Brown, good Lord. You could not have more miscues. Picking his own player, Demo, giving up things, coverage busts, missed tackles, lack of effort, bad, 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 bad. But we have seen quality NFL play from him before in a 49ers uniform. That cannot be dismissed. It can't. Where's jersey number 27? Goes by Tig. 5'11", 200. Crazy short arms, but only 25 years old. I do not want to cast this player out, but I do not want him starting. I want him to earn his confidence and role and all those things. But injuries seem to have given him another opportunity to be the guy again. Now, he is battling with Richie Grant, the vet, out there. But whenever you look at Jair Brown, like, man, 4.6, 540-yard dash, lowest 18th percentile of safeties. He's slow. 1.59, 10-yard split's good. It is three-cone change of direction, 6.87. That's elite. That's great. So top-end speed ain't there. Vertical, 35 inches, bottom 15%. Not electric at all. 10.4 broad jump, not great. 18 bench press, not. Yeah, his comps are Tedrick Thompson and Carl Joseph. Like, athleticism is not what makes Jair Brown good at football. It's instincts, it's aggressiveness, and it's making plays and turnovers. That's kind of what he has done. Well, the problem is, last year you didn't get the turnovers near as much. You just got the busted plays. From Trenton, New Jersey, went to Trenton High School, then, you know, went to Lackawanna Community College for a couple seasons and transferred to Penn State. Goes by Tig. Tigger, and, you know, Brown gained his nickname because he loved to bounce as a toddler, just like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh books, and so that kind of stuck. Goes to Penn State, 16 career takeaways, 10 picks, 3 fumble recoveries, 3 forced fumbles, team captain at Penn State, Rose Bowl game MVP. Man, what's not to love about this guy? And he loves football. Awesome behind the mic, press conferences, wants to be a sports analyst after football is over, but we don't want that right now. We want him to excel like he did his rookie year. And, you know, you kind of just look at what he was allowed or what he was able to accomplish his rookie year, and it's just like, man, he was awesome. 10 pass breakups, 3 interceptions, like just went out there and stepped in when Hufanga got injured in week 10. And forced, you know, an interception to seal the game in his very first game. Second interception came in Seattle. Week 14 win. Got an interception in the Super Bowl. Was consistent. Not a lot of play, like, break or major miscues. And then last year, 2024, they were kind of vaulting him up to be kind of like a captain and a press conference. And it just got bad, bad, bad to the point where when Huff came back, Hufanga last year, they benched Jair Brown. Well, Hufanga didn't stay healthy for long. Jair Brown got another shot. He actually played in every game, so that is the positive. Played all 17 games, 13 starts, got benched several times because he was so bad. Played over 1,000 snaps, was bad on special teams. Most of his snaps were at free safety. He shouldn't be playing free safety. He should be in the box, but whatever. His total stats last year, not awful. 77 tackles. 3 tackle for loss, 6 pass breakups, 1 interception. Those 12 missed tackles, those show up. 2 touchdowns allowed, 2 penalties. PFF scores were awful. Justin Jefferson gave up a 97-yard touchdown. James Cook in the Bills game gave up a 60-plus-yard touchdown. Quit on the Packers play, gave up a touchdown. Gave up a lot of touchdowns in the running game. A lot of touchdowns. And, you know, was worried that he wasn't going to be healthy because he had ankle surgery, but he's ready to go. He hasn't missed any practices this training camp so far as of this recording, and that's huge. made career $2.6 million in his first 2 years, started 18 games, played in 32. He's kind of penciled in to be the starter until Malik Mustafi gets back. Maybe Richie Grant is more consistent with a little bit less of the splash in his veteran years. Jair Brown, if he could just regain the confidence and consistency that he lost from his rookie year. And Nick Sorensen's gone now. Maybe that's enough. And I really hope that is just a Nick Sorensen issue. But if Jair Brown has like another year, like he did last year, like he's getting cut halfway through the year. Like it was that bad. Might not even be picked up on another team. But I don't think that's the case. I think Jair Brown has more to offer. He has the body. He has the playmaking. He has the anticipation. Just, man, quit freaking torpedo tackling. Use your arms. You see what you hit. Pay attention to the coverage bust, all those things. Get back to where it is. And, man, could you imagine having a solid safety room of, you know, Malik Mustafa once he gets heavy? Marquis Siegel, the rookie, he's got upside. And I think they want him to be the free safety eventually. But if you're Jair Brown, you're saying, hell no, you're not taking that job from me. I got to earn it. The rookie's not going to pass me. The vet's not going to pass me. He's getting those reps. Do not let them pass you. Let's go, Tig. We need 2023 Jair Brown back in the worst of ways. Week one, we got Seattle. Divisional game on the road. Come on, man. Let's get it done. Shout out to Josh, executive producer of today's episode. And, man, Jair Brown, we need you back. We need you back. Last year, put it behind you. Go back to what you were your rookie year and grow from there. For us in the 49ers Rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.